So, my ultimate goal after I get the repeater upgrade completed, which should happen this month, I want to talk to this new editor at the Journal and see if she'd be interested in publishing one or more articles about this club, about radio, and also inviting people to, if they want to get involved with GMRS, inviting them to use that repeater. If they want to get involved with amateur radio, to join this club and so forth. So I lived here for over 30 years and didn't know we had a radio club. And so I think I'd like to sort of, as secretary, maybe just put some information out there just for the Moshannon Valley community to start with. And
I think she's made a big difference in the Journal. The police reports are kind of humorous.
Okay.
So the cat was stolen, valued at a dollar. It's the one that cracked me up.
My daughter lives down near Philly. Whenever we have those kind of articles, like in the Progress, I'll send her a link and say, boy, crime's really rising in Clearfield County.
So I was pushing a GMRS repeater last week at the bike thing, just trying to advertise it to all the bikers.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them didn't know something like that existed, that because they do the same thing when I talked before. They ride them in the woods, but they don't really want a ham license. But they have friends, and they're like, it'd be nice if we could communicate it. So I was talking about the GMRS.
Yeah, you know, this summer we've been inundated with bike races. I mean, we had the one here that Jason and Bernie and I tried to cover. Well, we just kind of, it was an experiment. We just wanted to see what it would take and everything. But there's, I think Carmine and Woody dealt with, what, three or four different ones?
Well, we've traditionally been doing the MS one for a long time. And then the Wilderness 101 came along, and that was on there. And then there was a college one out here, and I did communications with that one, Carmine headed that
yeah.
one out.
Yeah.
And that's the one we had somebody actually get injured during that one. We've been lucky most of the other time.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we do a horse deal.
That's on the horses today. The unpaved is today, so there's a 120-mile bike race going on today that they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at it like, it doesn't seem like it's easy to find volunteers. I think Carmine, you know, he sends out multiple emails, and it's hard, you know, because with that many events, you kind of stretch your membership thin, you know.
Yeah.
The day that we did it, Darren was busy that day, or he would have helped us, but we would have had four people max. And it's an all-day event for a bike race. I mean, the longest part of it was like 100 miles or something. So
yes, I think I'm done doing volunteer events for for-profit bike events.
Yeah.
For like last week when I did it, it was a nonprofit to raise money for the forest. I'm good for that. Yeah. But when we're doing communications for for-profit companies, that doesn't seem...
Yeah.
If it's for profit, they should just hire someone to do their communication.
Did they donate anything to the...
Carmine says sometimes they do.
Wilderness 101 has donated.
Okay.
I don't know what it's for. Is it for any organization you ever heard of?
I think that's a for-profit as well.
Maybe.
Like the 4-H one today, that's a non-profit. The horseback then. The one we did last week was for the to raise money for the public lands, just people using... So that's a non-profit.
Yeah. Other running races, YMCA.
Yeah, or something for the community, like the YMCA one that we do. That's for the community, right? That's different. But when we have these organizers who are coming from out of the area who are just using the woods for a for-profit race, I don't think I'm volunteering for those anymore.
You know, I tried to tell what's her name, Mary Ann.
She's sucking me in. I'm now a friend of Black Moshannon. I got Mary Ann. She's on my. Apparently I'm on her speed dial list now.
Well, she used to do the YMCA one for quite a few years. That's how I got to know her. And then
she's a nice lady.
She's a real talker, though.
Oh, she is.
You can't get away from her.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thinking is this: a couple of things. Number one, it would be nice if people had the option to use a repeater with their own staff. They've already got people at checkpoints. If those people just were aware like with the GMRS, for example, if they just pay $35, eventually the FCC is going to make it 35. I think it's still 70, but eventually it'll be $35. They get a license. It takes a day or two to get it. They're real quick at processing it. You get yourself a radio that'll work on GMRS. We can provide people with instructions for popular radios on how to set them up, you know, how to put the parameters for the repeater, and then let people handle their own communications. We're providing the repeater. And then the second part of that is, if people that are not charities want our services, I would be in favor of saying, well, you know, we can staff this event for this amount of money, and say, you know, that for a fee, we can provide you with radio communications, but we need this much time and so forth, you know.
Is it allowable by the GMRS rules or not?
GMRS rules are pretty lax. I mean, for example, if you get a license, it covers every member of your extended family, grandchildren, grandparents, sisters and brothers, they're all covered. So it's the intent is for a family.
Yeah. But a guy running a race doesn't fit that.
Yeah, so, well, each person using a radio technically should have a license. And we don't want to give them any other ideas about that. We want to say everybody should have a GMRS license and use their call sign. You do have to identify on GMRS.
So how does that work with the family? Like, if my wife and I get it, we use the same call sign?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, like when Doreen and I, okay, so I had the radio, and Doreen was using my car for a while to go back and forth to work. Hers was in the shop, so she had the radio there. I'm in my shack at home. She's going to and from work, and she's saying WRDT 431 mobile, and I'm saying WRDT 431 base.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you can use your name or initials or ABC, whatever.
So it's not limited to your household. If my son lives somewhere else, he can also use my GMRS.
Yeah,
I thought it was his household.
You can find the regs. It's Part 95 in the FCC regs, and nowhere in those regs does it say living in the same household.
Ah, okay, good. Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. So, like, I know a couple of families that extended families where, like, for example, this one family, they've got there was four sisters, and they all married different men, and they all live together. This isn't Utah. So they all live in the West Branch area, West Branch School District. But two of them have adult children that live in Pleasant Gap. Well, guess what? The GMRS repeater, ask Ed Hinkle. He lives in Pleasant Gap, and he can get in with a half a watt on a handheld inside his house. So in a situation, and they also, like, say you have a spouse that works at Penn State and you work at home, or you're in, you know, you can communicate if, like, if there's some reason communications are down, that's an alternate way to communicate over, you know, over the mountain. So so I can see multiple scenarios where this GMRS could be helpful. I think I mentioned before, I was out in a kayak this summer, and I was with my son. He was taking pictures, and I was just paddling around behind him out at Black Mashannon, but I had a 2-watt UHF handheld with me, and I was able to get into the repeater just plain as day from in my kayak. But I thought to myself, suppose I was out here alone, and we were way up at the top end of the lake where nobody usually goes except kayaks, because it's real shallow and things. And I thought, suppose I was out here alone and started having chest pains, you know? And so
you'll eventually float downstream.
The Kepler Dam.
Can we put you in charge of safety? It sounds like a plan there.
Unless you get tangled up in all our vegetation that's in the lake.
So my thinking was, you know, first of all, I would never rely on that, on somebody hearing me, because I don't think most repeaters aren't monitored on a regular basis. So I think the responsible way to advise people is to say, arrange to have a trusted individual monitoring when you are in that situation. So if you're going for a hike in the woods, or you're going to camp in the woods for a couple of days in the Mashannon area, just arrange for a trusted individual to have another radio on receive. And if you need help, then you've got somebody listening, you know, rather than just relying on a random individual to hear you. So now there's also a GMRS repeater up near the NARC radio building, up on that same ridge, I believe there's one.
Yeah, a long time ago, Woody had one.
Well, there's a I can't think of his name. Carmine knows the individual who owns the repeater, And right now, it's just like private use by a few individuals.
Yeah.
And Carmine gave me the impression that they sort of want to keep it that way. So I can't really speak for the owner or anything, but if you had an event going on in like Rothrock Forest, I would think that repeater, like again, if they were able to use it and provide their own radio communications, you know, if the repeater owner would agree to it, then you could say to these groups to say, well, you don't necessarily need us to man the radios. You could do it yourself if you were allowed to use this repeater. And maybe they could make some donations. Maybe they could work something out. But I just feel like it's good to see all these events, but I think it's getting volunteers is going to be...
Well, it's kind of strange with call signs. I go back to the days when people used call signs on CB.
Yeah.
And the university had a license.
Yeah.
And we were KIC7590, and then everybody had it. I was in the meteorology department. We had two trucks. It was Cloud 1 and Cloud 2.
You never got to Cloud 9?
No, we didn't. We only had two trucks.
Oh, my.
We used it on rare occasions when we were taking both trucks someplace to set up a radar or something. You know, it was useful for that, but we really didn't use it much. But,
yeah.
But the university had the license. And there were various departments that had communications, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so I think my overall goal, just as sort of webmaster and secretary, is to sort of, I'd like for more people in the community to just know that our club exists and to know how they can better use radio. I think there was something in the journal recently about the American Legion post here, 437, I guess it is, that they want to set up some sort of a task force for disasters, like if there's flooding or if somebody gets burned out of their home, they want to basically, they got permission from the borough to use the former police station barracks in the bottom of the township building as temporary headquarters for this. I think they're calling it Task Force 437.
Yeah, where the jail used to be.
Yeah. And so the interest is there. And a number of members, I think four members of the American Legion, took their tests and got ham licenses. So there seems to be some greater, with everything going on in the world, it's not surprising there's a greater interest in radio. And I think they didn't know about us. It was a chance meeting between Darren and these other individuals, and he had stopped in at the Legion, and there was an event there, and he was just at the event, and they noticed on his shirt something about he had a para shirt on, and they were like, "Oh, radio, what's going on?" You know, and he's like, "Well, we have this radio club in Phillipsburg," and they're like, "Well, we all just took our tests and we didn't know."
Yeah.
So that, I think we need to fix that. We need to get the awareness out there. So I'll be talking to Teresa Mull, I guess, to see about, you know, if she'd be receptive to maybe having some articles in the journal to just sort of, you know.
So does Phillipsburg have any Christmas or holiday events?
Just a parade on Front Street.
We have a 30-foot Santa.
About a 4-block parade. Santa comes in or something.
And
Halloween, they do a parade for Halloween.
So, like, I know NARC, they put an APRS on a fire truck with Santa.
Yeah, they have Santa.
And then everyone can follow Santa as he comes to town. So,
yeah.
So it might be something that maybe we do some type of outreach and advertise, like you said in the paper, if you want to follow Santa Claus, go to APRS.5, whatever, and there might be, and you can have Santa Claus and APRS receiver,
yeah,
transmitter, just to get out that we're here, right? That the radio exists.
Well, and another thing that just comes to mind is a lot of people have ordinary walkie-talkies. FRS walkie-talkies. Channel 15 on your walkie-talkie will receive the GMRS repeater on Rattlesnake.
So you can maybe have Santa Claus do a message on the FRS 15.
Yeah.
He goes about 4 blocks in Phillipsburg.
He's now at Pine Street.
They have two of them. So to get around, stay calm.
Oh, my. Another thing that came up recently, Darren mentioned to me is, I think I'll save it. I won't mention it here.
Okay.
It's early stages, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot. So I'll get to talk to you after the meeting if anybody's interested. It's just a potential development on the horizon that we became aware of. So is there any other business?
Any other business?
Okay, going, going, gone. Okay.
I don't know what that.